Today's preachers would do well to copy a speaking technique used effectively by Jesus, storytelling. That's the key sentence for our SermonCoach.com podcast. Welcome. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I noticed recently that you posted a 5-sermon series based on stories from the Kingdom Tales books you and your wife Karen wrote.
We did that. I would like to say that the sermons were based on biblical texts, but probably that's not totally true. I used texts from Scripture in those sermons, but basically they are regarding the tales that were told. So they are storytelling. There's no question about that. I hope that doesn't make ministers uncomfortable. And I've actually done those sermons in person, and I've never had anybody challenge me and say, you base that on your tales instead of the Scriptures. They saw how the two pieces worked together, the stories that we wrote and also the Scriptures.
Well, we've talked many times before that if Jesus had a preaching technique, it was to use stories. He spent a lot of time communicating with the people that gathered to listen to him, whether it was the disciples or large crowds, and he told them stories. So what advantages are there to a story as contrasted to what we normally think of as a sermon?
At least from my experience, if you tell a story well, people remember it for a long time. For Jesus, there was the advantage that the people weren't quite sure what he was saying, because we have to put ourselves in that situation. I mean, the Romans were listening to everything that he said. This was an occupied country, put some foreign power over America that, say, is Islamic in nature, and then say, I would like to preach my text. Well, you're going to be checked very carefully as to what you're saying, whether it's consistent with what the Islamic belief is. Well, that's the situation Jesus was in. He had to be extremely careful what he was saying. And in a sense, when some people went away scratching their head, you know, did we catch him this time or didn't we? You just get some of the wisdom of Jesus. You can't read him as though he can say anything he wants without it getting him into trouble. I do think that stories do have, though, this lasting feel because they're so much easier to remember. His stories were not complicated or long. They were usually short, but they were extremely pointed. So, you know, there are a lot of times it would say not only the Romans, but the Pharisees, they realized he was talking about them in the story, and they didn't come off as the hero. They came off as the villain.
Why do you think it is that ministers don't make stories a bigger part of their sermon writing?
In some ways they do. They don't call them stories. They call them illustrations. They are short stories. They do what good storytellers don't do, and that is a good storyteller leaves the story alone to say what it means to the listener. In fact, if you get too much explanation of story, say in a film, that film very quickly becomes propaganda, and people feel that it's propaganda. It's trying to convince me of something. It has a desired end, whereas a story, it tells the story, and then what is neat is the person figures out what that story is actually saying to them. Jesus is more the classic storyteller, although there are times in the Scriptures when the disciples say, we can't figure that blame thing out. You know, tell us what it means. And so he would explain to them what he had in mind. In terms of the whole of the story, I think it's helpful sometimes to be able to tell a story and let the story have the power in itself so that people wrestle with it and then they kind of come to the aha moment that says, I get it. I know what he was talking about. And I don't think preachers are very good at that. They tend to want to say, in case you didn't catch what that story was saying, let me nail it down now. In that series with the Advent use of the Tales of the Kingdom, I tried to let it tell itself and just assume that the stories were clear enough that people would understand what's being said. You know, Jesus, Dean, when you say, what did Jesus do? I think that ministers today tend to think that Jesus preached like, I'm going to do a book study of Zechariah, or I'm going to spend 6 weeks in Isaiah and tell you what Isaiah was. It's kind of like the expositional preaching that ministers do. Jesus didn't do that at all. He hardly even proof texts, although there are times you could say maybe he did. He was an incredibly original communicator. His means of communication, I think it would make a lot of ministers feel very uncomfortable today. But you listen to what he did, he was the classic storyteller in many, many ways.
And the truth is, when we preach New Testament texts from the Gospels, we are often simply retelling the stories that Jesus told.
Which is amazing that they're still fresh today, yes.
On Christian radio, I've listened to continued story reading and found it very interesting. Could that technique be of value in church services?
I think it could be. There's no question in my mind. I spoke years ago to a Christian high school, and I remember as a young minister being told this is one of the most unruly audiences you could ever want. And I thought to myself, yeah, I'm good enough, I'll hold their attention. So I went in, and the first time I spoke there, I probably would have said they were right. It's the most unruly group of people I've ever tried to speak for. It was a large school, but they were noisy, they talked, and it was very frustrating to me. To my surprise, they asked me to come back again. And I decided that what I would do would not be to try to speak like normally I would read a story. And I did, and all of a sudden that group was as quiet as could be. It was just like you could hear a whisper almost through it because the story captured them. So I did that several times. They asked me to come back and speak. I'm talking about 50 years ago. The other day I was with a group of fellas, and some of them were in that school. And they said, of all the people who came to the school to speak, you were the most popular of all. And I thought, wow, that's a high compliment, but it also means that I had maybe very thick skin. Then I realized, no, that's not what it was. I remember my frustration and what I did, and I read stories to them. It was almost like you got kids that you're babysitting for and you can't control them, so you capture them with a story. And they didn't remember what I did, but they remembered of all the speakers who came in, I was one of them that they really recalled was able to capture all their attention. And I did that with story. So that's always had kind of an impression on me that could be done. And also just watching Jesus and thinking, it is really hard to speak outside. I mean, there's all kinds of distractions. Apart from just the bugs in your face and all the people meandering around and some people stopping, some leaving, them talking to each other, all that. You know, to be able to speak outside I've never spoken, you know, to a very large crowd outside, but Jesus had thousands of people coming to listen to him speak. And part of his incredible ability, I think, was that he realized that you can't get very complicated. You have to capture them somehow in terms of their imagination, and story did that. I don't know whether he strung the stories together or whether he'd speak for a while, then leave and then tell another story after they kind of regrouped again. I don't know what his technique was, but the people listened to him. I mean, the accounts that Matthew gives, the people were amazed at his authority even. So somewhere story fit into all of that. And I think that what has happened in terms of the preaching in today's world, we've kind of written it out as a possible way of really recapturing people again. One other thought that comes to me as I'm sharing this with you, really storytelling is a phenomenal communication form in the American society, not to say nothing of other societies, whether they're Latin American or African or Asian or whatever. But we pick up a lot of what our values in life are by the stories that we watch. Now, we call them television programs, or we talk about them as movies, but they're basically stories that are told, and we identify with those characters and learn how to talk and how to think and how to relate to other people through those stories. So for the church to give up all those stories, I think that's unfortunate, and to end up just in what I would call lecturing, if you take it out of the milieu of the religious terms, and just lecture, I mean, that's like giving up the choice golden thing that you got going for you. So I think we need to recapture that and learn how to do it well.
If pastors want to get an idea how to use continued story reading, on our sermoncoach.com website, we have a sermon series on the God Hunt. And woven into that sermon series on the God Hunt is the children's version of the God Hunt, which is a book that you and Karen wrote and which your son Jeremy illustrated. That book is woven through each of those sermons so that by the time the congregation gets through the several sermons in that series, I think there are five of them, they've heard the whole story. Mm-hmm. But each week leading up to the last week, you sort of leave them hanging with the story. It's a very engaging story about a young man named Luther. He's misspoken of and called Loser. Mm-hmm. But anyways, that's one way of weaving a story.
Yes.
If you can continue this story each week of a sermon in a series. I've preached that sermon series, and that's really has a great power to capture the congregation as you share the truth of making yourself aware of God's presence in your life each day.
Yeah. I don't know, and I've tried to find it on the web, Dean, the whole of Charles Sheldon's In His Steps. I don't know whether he actually wrote those chapters and read them on Sunday nights or whether he did sermons and then they became the basis for In His Steps, which is the book that asks the question, what would Jesus do? I'm not really sure, and I haven't been able to find that, but one way or the other, that story of In His Steps is either as a direct result of his sermons or otherwise became his sermons during a part of his preaching time. So, yeah, those are just illustrations that are not as good as the illustration of Jesus, but it shows you using Jesus' technique has real value.
Today's preachers would do well to copy a speaking technique used effectively by Jesus, storytelling. We're so glad you joined us for this time together on our SermonCoach.com podcast. You found our podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.